Check, check, 1, 2. No laughing on the podcast. This is serious business, by goodness.
Okay, we got 10 minutes to figure this out.
Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should use this as my intro, honestly, and have these, you know, the La Familia on the intro with me. It's the Reach Podcast with Chris Appleton.
Did you forget your name?
No, I'm just looking because I'm getting notifications on my phone as it's popping here. But anyway, I'm going to do kind of an impromptu podcast episode this week and interview a pastor who is a Living Word pastor from Las Vegas. His name is Pastor Ruben, and he is a professional boxer and pastor, and he has a powerful testimony, and we are going to interview him. I didn't bring my microphone or anything, so we're going to see how this sounds and how it works. I think it's going to work fine. What do you guys think?
Sure, but you would want to introduce the pastor with his full name and where he pastors out of.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. That's very good. It's Pastor Ruben Saavedra, but I don't want to mispronounce his last name. And of course, I will be saying Living Word Las Vegas, but thank you.
There you go.
This, you know,
give
what?
Give me details. I'm a woman.
I like that. I like that. And what's up, Robert? How you doing? How do you, got to say something.
Oh.
How you like the conference so far?
It's pretty good.
Which preacher did you like the best? Don't answer that. No, go ahead. Which preacher, which message did you like the best?
The one about the church, like the lonely church or whatever,
morning's?
Yeah.
Oh, so Pastor Manuel's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was a powerful message. Yeah, so, we're having a good time enjoying the conference, and I thought I would have my wife on the intro with me, because she's awesome. I didn't think she'd actually, you know, start whipping me into shape and put me in line already. And I don't like it. But I'm just kidding. No. How are you enjoying the conference, babe?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. It's nice to unplug from our day-to-day life and then just get grounded and into the Word and really seek the Lord in this time of prayer and fellowship. And yeah, it's going to be good. And especially when you come expecting.
Yeah.
When you come expecting with that right attitude, the Lord will come and speak to you, and just either through the Word or through ministering in prayer. So, yeah, it's been good.
Come on, somebody. Preacher right there. Hello. It's good. Amen, babe. Come expecting. That's the thing. Not just show up, but show up expecting. And I know God has already been speaking to us and going to continue. So it's good. This has been a long intro, I know. This is the Reach Podcast with Chris Appleton. And of course, the lovely Rosa Appleton as well. And we are going to get into this interview. Hope you enjoy it. And God bless. All right, guys. I am here with Pastor Ruben and his wife, and they are from Living Word, Las Vegas. And Pastor Ruben is not only a preacher, he's a pro boxer, and he looks like a tough guy. I'm sitting right here with him, and praise the Lord. And, you know, Pastor, I didn't want to mispronounce your last name. Is Saavedra?
It's Saavedra, yeah.
I'm a white boy, so I ain't going to pronounce that right. But and your wife is here, and if you want to just introduce your guys. And
go ahead, man.
Okay, my name is Cynthia, Pastor Ruben's wife, originally from Pomona. I met my husband in Chino. We're actually come out of the men's and women's home under Pastor Laura and
nice.
Pastor Manuel Sacedo in Living Word Chino Hills. I met my husband, anyways.
What happened?
I sold a lot of dope.
Yeah.
And I sold a lot of dope, and he met my brother in High Desert Prison, and we were supposed to just do business because he ran his neighborhood.
Wow.
So we met and started talking, and one thing led to another, and now we're married.
So you were the connect. And you were going to score, basically.
No, actually, he was going to be my bodyguard, really.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll just get right into it. Yeah, so that's cool. Okay, so you were going to be the bodyguard.
Yeah, well, actually, I have a lot of political ties. A lot of political ties. I was, I spent, you know, most of my life in prison since the age of 15 to the age of 33. In and out. But most of them, you know, mostly in, only, you know, been out, you know, longest was like a month and a half. One time I had a record at 6 months, but I was using the whole time. So when I got arrested, I had a real bad withdrawal from heroin. And I spent a lot of time in prison, and I had a lot of political ties because that was my life at that time. And when I did like 2 years, and it's called the SHU, it's called a segregated housing unit, where convicts, you know, cause I was a convict at that time. We did stuff in the prison system to go in the hole. In other words, it's the hole. And I did 2 years in the hole, and then I got out, and I got kicked out to a level 4 yard. And a level 4 yard is a high custody yard. And that's where I ran into my wife's brother. He got 20 years. His name is Tony Mora. And he got 28 years. And then I came out of the hole. I went into the main line.
Which wasn't supposed to happen.
In reality.
Now we know it was God.
You know, now that we know, because God, you know, he opened up the doors for me because, you know, I was putting in work. So I put in work to get in the hole, and when I was in the hole, I put in more work. So when I was in the hole, they kicked me back to the yard again. I put in some more work, and I went back to the hole. And then when I was in the hole again, I put in some more work. So I was very active in that prison life and in that gang life, and I wasn't supposed to get out. They gave me an indeterminate shoe. They said, you know what, you'll just forget about the main line. You'll never see the main line again. And so, you know, like I said, I got out, and then I came back to prison, I went to committee. It's called prison committee. I went to the committee, and they're like, "We don't know why we're letting you out, Ruben, but we're gonna let you out. Can you behave?" And I'm like, "Hey, you know, like, yeah, sure, I can behave." They're like, "Hey, do not, you know, hurt anybody or anything else anymore." And I'm like, "All right, cool." So I went back, and then I went back to the hole, you know, with all of my friends and stuff in there, my homeboys, and I told them, "Hey, guess what, man? You guys ain't gonna believe what happened, you know? They're kicking me back into the main line," and they're like, "Man, they're like, "How'd you pull that one off?" I was like, "I don't know how that I pulled out," but at the end, like now that we're here today, God already knew what he was doing before we even knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so
he met my brother, and he had a message. And anyways, to make that long story short, what we did was we ended up meeting and doing business together, and then we fell in love.
Wow.
And we were running around the streets, running from the cops, running with guns, running with dope. And then somebody handed us a flyer.
Yeah. Wow.
Good thing for the flyers, amen. Handed us some flyer and invited us to come to a concert.
Who handed you a flyer?
From the men's home at Living Where Chino Hills.
Who was it?
I grew up.
Who was it? Do you remember who exactly was that handed it to you?
I really don't remember who it was, but okay. I knew it was somebody. Well, because at that time, I grew up in the neighborhood in Chino Hills. I grew up in right there in Los Serranos, Chino, California. And I grew up in that small little neighborhood. And I knew there was a church there, but I never knew there was a church there.
Mm.
So it was an active church.
I didn't know because I think at that time, I think Pastor Manuel just barely moved into the church.
Oh, wow.
And so they were handing out flyers, fundraising, and they were talking about, "Hey, you guys want to come into, you guys want to come and see a concert?" MC Boulevard was playing at that time. And it was a Friday. And it was, matter of fact, it was Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday that weekend. And so I was, like I said, I got out of prison. I just got out of prison, right? And then we're going to the store. You know, I was going to go get me a pack of cigarettes, a 40, and then, you know, maybe hit the connect right after, you know? And so they handed us a flyer, and that's when That's what
I had asked Ruben, actually, have you ever been to a concert? He goes, I've never been to a concert. Well, I've been to the hundreds of them. And I said, well, to me, since it's at a church, I described it, I guess it's going to be like a mini, mini, mini concert. You know, we knew who MC Boulevard was. He used to, you know, hang around with his music, Remember Me Homie,
That one song, I Remember You Homie. And, yeah. You know, that was like in the 90 era. And we're, you know, shaving our heads at that time, and, you know, we're bumping that stuff. And then, you know, I grew up listening to that music, and I was like, oh, I know who MC Boulevard. But I didn't know MC Boulevard was a Christian.
Right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because when we went, I liked dance. I liked music. Everybody knows that. So I heard the music. And we got to speak to MC Boulevard about this afterwards. Mm. And whenever I see him and I give our testimony in my head, I'm like, thank God that he decided to stay, to continue his music. Because there was a time he told us he was going to quit. Mm. Well, what happened, what caught us our attention, because I'm like, hey, this is cool. And then sure enough, what happens, you hear the words. Now you're realizing the words are different, right? So we had a good time.
Yeah.
They invited us back for Saturday. They were having a carnival.
They had the carnival.
Free food.
They got me with the free food. Hey, we have free hamburgers.
We were hungry because we're out there in the streets, right? Yeah. We were like homeless at this time. We're like, we'll have free food. Yeah, right now, awesome. Right? So we went. We invited the family, too. We have pictures from that day on the carnival. And then they invited us back for Sunday for church. I'm going to tell you one thing. The blessing in that is nobody was hovering over us.
Mm.
Because I remember when other people tried to reach and they're just demanding. And they didn't do that. They just came and loved us.
Mm.
They wanted to hang out with us and get to know us. That's the thing that I always remember. They weren't trying to pressure us or telling us what we needed to do. They just kept inviting and inviting and inviting. So the next year we're like, all right, we're going to go.
Easter Sunday, you know, can bring the family, you know, so, you know, everybody goes to church on Easter Sunday. Well, not everybody. Well, even the sinners do, too.
Yeah.
Even the sinners do. So, you know, I took my family, my mom, my nieces and nephews, and, you know, I took my wife. And at that time, she wasn't my wife. But we went into the church. We went to the church, and they were talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor Manuel was... He was preaching about how Jesus Christ died for all of our sins.
Yeah.
And they said, who wants to leave their old life to live a new life? As much as we were so
into that lifestyle.
Come on.
We knew something was different. Something was missing in our lives. There was something in the world that wasn't filling that emptiness in our heart.
Yeah.
So we went, man, and you know, my mind, my everything was telling me, you better run out, because they did an altar call. They said, who wants to leave their old life to live a new life, and who wants to live for Jesus Christ? And my mind and my body was like, hey, run out, man. Hey, run out. Run, leave. Leave, you know, run. But God got a hold of my heart that day.
Mm.
Got a hold of my heart, and I went and I just surrendered my life. I gave my life to Jesus Christ that day. And then I looked right next to me, and my wife was there too. Mm. And we were both broken. We wanted something different because we found something inside. You know, we found something that was like, man, you know what? This was meant to be. And so we went. I gave my life, and you know, it was a rough year, about a year and a half. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a transformation. Didn't happen just right away. You know, I went back, and of course, you know, I grew up in that neighborhood, in that church, and I grew up in that where that the church was at, and you know, my homeboys were there, and everybody was running around like, hey, man, you're going to that church.
His house is literally
two blocks from the church, yeah. So
that's where the home was, right?
Yes.
Man, not a lot of people can do that.
Right?
Yeah. And I think it had, everything came into play, even though, you know, what the devil intended for bad, God turned into good, because my homeboys, they loved me, and they led me to a point where they're like, hey, Ruben, if you're going to do the church thing, then do the church thing, man.
Yeah.
If you're willing to change your life, man, then do it, you know. And I had the support of my homeboys, and You know, at first they were kind of like, hey man, what's going on at that church? Like, hey, there has to be something going more than maybe going on in that church. I said, no, man. I go, this is real stuff, man. Yeah. I go, this is real stuff.
And we've had a lot of them, you know, some of them try, even if it's just one time. They want to see us. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And then they come and they keep in touch and they call for prayer now. And God's used us to impact. You know, the way he uses the pastors now, he's using us as vessels. Because one thing they'll say, man, Ruben, you could do this. I have a chance, you know. Hey, Cindy, you can do this. Seriously, I got a chance, you know. So that's the blessing, you know, that it just keep, like they say, paying it forward, you know.
Yeah.
Just keep going and going. But, yeah, we also, you know, what I like to mention is we went to the men's and women's home, but we were already saved by that time. We were already sober.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to church faithfully. Yeah. And Pastor Manuel just talked to us about it. And first I was like, what? I'm not getting high. Like, why do I need to go to the home first for, you know? And then he said for a foundation for your marriage, because now we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married there, Pastor Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Got baptized there.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, go to the home. So we're like, okay, for a foundation. And some people think that you have to be out of prison. You got to be on the run. You got to be homeless. You got to be injured. No, you don't.
Wow.
You can be okay and serving God. But if your pastor tells you to go because he sees something that you might not see, then you should go.
Wow.
And that's what we did. And we went. Mm-hmm. And now we know where to go to. Because, of course, we're, you know, husband and wife. We're going to have trials and tribulations. We're pretty fortunate.
We're going to disagree.
We're going to box. But, you know, we're pretty fortunate that our past has pretty much been on the same most of the time. That we do get along. You know, we come from the same place. But we do have trials and tribulations. But now we know where to run to. I know where to run to God. I know to call my pastora. Ruben knows to run to God. He knows to call Pastor Manuel. So that we did exactly what he told us, and that's what happened, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, you know, instead of my wife was saying, you know, we had a habit of running to, you know, the things
streets,
of the world,
back
and, you
to
know,
neighborhood.
Running to the neighborhood, and now. I don't run to my neighborhood. I run past my neighborhood into the church.
Yep.
And I go and I tell my pastor, hey, pastor, you know, man, I quit. He tells me, he pats me in the back and he tells me, yeah, well, join the club. He goes, you're a fighter, right? I said, yeah, I'm a fighter, pastor. He goes, well, then you're going to keep on fighting, right?
Amen.
You're a fighter. You're not a quitter, right? And I said, no, I'm not a quitter. He goes, all right, then we'll get back in the fight, man. So he goes, hey, you know, get back in the fight. So get into prayer, humble yourself and go. And that's what we do. You know, we got to, you know, instead of running, you know, running to drugs to fix our problems, I run to my pastor now to help me, to guide me, to give me direction to fix my problems.
Amen.
And I take heed to what he tells me.
Amen.
And you know, I just
even when we don't understand it sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes
we're speaking truth here. Sometimes we don't understand, or sometimes people get like, "Well, why do I gotta do that?" But what I do know, and I try to tell people, is I might not understand something, but I know that my pastora knows, and she's like she knows more than I do, and she's for me. She's not here to hurt me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So maybe I don't understand, or maybe I don't even agree, but I'm going to do exactly what she says because I know it's going to get me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Right, babe? So that's how I live. Like, you know, I might not get it and I might not like it, but, but I'm going to do it because she's seen something that I might not see or understand. And it's always worked out for us. Amen?
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
So it was, now, you know, and before we went into the home, you know, like I said, the year and a half was rough, you know, we got married, we got into an apartment, and, you know, I'm talking to the backsliders now, the backsliders that go into God, that year and a half was kind of rough, because we started serving the Lord, we're going to church, we're on fire, and, you know, we were doing all that, and you know, we got an apartment. We're playing house. We're playing house, and we end up backsliding again. We end up backsliding. We end up using drugs. I mean, I always use drugs, anyways. But we end up backsliding again, going back to the things that we knew.
To our vomit.
Yeah, to our vomit. And we end up worse than we did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up in the storage. You know, we had to pack all of our stuff from our apartment and put it in the storage. And, you know, we're going from place to place. And you know, I had friends, I had families. But, you know, but they could only take, because me and Cynthia, we would be fighting, we would be arguing a lot. They're like, man, we ain't gonna get involved because, you know, they get in between, you know, our fights, and then we end up turning on them, you know?
So, you know, so, we know how to fight.
Yeah, so, you know, they're like, hey, you know what, I'll go like, hey, you can stay a couple nights, but hey, you can't stay too long because, hey, you know. But then, you know, that's, you know, for the backslider, you know, for people that, you know, they come to God, man, and you know, some people get it right away. It took us a year and a half, and then we finally got it, and then, we sobered up.
Yeah, but we were pretty, God had a lot of grace on us.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long, and thank God Ruben got busted. Yeah, as soon as it got busted, I ran into a rehab. But there's people out there praying for us, and I think what happens, if you really, you want something different, I don't know how people, and I know that it happens, they get to a point where they stop listening, like how they were preaching today, right? Mm-hmm. They've been preaching the last couple of days. You stop listening. When you start, and you're not listening, is then you can't hear God no more, and you're gone. Well, even in our midst of our ugliness, we were hearing. Mm-hmm. We kept hearing, and he kept pulling, and we were trying to go back, too. Yeah. You know, it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
The same. I had been getting high for like 30 some years, and this was totally different now. You start, it's just ugly. It was just different. And I advise everybody, don't even try it. Don't go back. Just stay straight and keep pushing forward. Yeah. Keep your eyes on God and listen. Because, once you stop listening like that, as they were saying at the conference today, it's all bad, you know? Yeah. But,
You know, and like right now, and you know, where we're at today, you know, our main, our, you know, my main title is, you know, a pastor, you know, I'm, you know, and I take, you know, I take that to heart. You know, I'm also a professional boxer. I'm also a union iron worker. You know, I wouldn't
a
have
husband.
It. Oh yeah. And a husband.
Wonderful
yeah.
husband.
Yeah. You know, but I wouldn't have able to accomplish any of these things. I wouldn't have even done any of this if it wasn't for Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
for me giving my life to Jesus Christ and for me to, you know, they say that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
And if I wasn't obedient if I wasn't listening to what my pastor was directing me to, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
You know, the blessing is too is, you know, I wanna that's our past, and
not to glorify
yeah,
our past.
Yeah, but we're talking about the goodness that God has done through our past and today and tomorrow. So. Ruben and I ended up with hepatitis C. You know, Ruben had hepatitis C from drug use. And when he went to fight, he passed everything flying colors. You know, like if his body was 20 years old. And as older, because now he is older, but God's going to give him a second chance. And we're like, no, God wants him to fight. Well, he didn't pass the blood. And he got a job. Best insurance. I have the best insurance. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So, and he got treatment.
Through,
you know,
my insurance.
Through his insurance, yeah. But it was just a process, and then he got cleared, and they made it. Took us like almost 3 years for him to get his license. Mm-hmm. But God was with us the whole time, and just, you know, we kept enduring, and we kept hearing him say, Ruben's gonna fight, and they finally approved him, and he fought. He's had two fights. He's gonna have another fight coming up. It was a blessing, and in that blessing,
so there was a blessing in that blessing, because my insurance covered the interferon. And I was working, I was going to work, and I was taking the interferon, I was going through some changes.
In the summertime, in the
120
degrees
in Las Vegas.
Wow.
I was working, doing rebar, you know, we're doing, you know, big facilities.
Yeah.
And we have enough time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. You guys are good. Are you cold?
No.
Is it too cold in here?
I'm good.
Okay.
So, with my insurance, so I go through this treatment, and then I get cured from hepatitis, and my blood's okay now. And so now Cynthia was like, okay, well, you know, since your insurance covers the hepatitis, let's go ahead and, you know, Cynthia needs to go and get, because she has hepatitis too. And so they're like, all right, well, so they run my insurance again. They're like, hey, well, we don't even know how you got the treatment.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't even know how you, or where
and
you're able to get treatment. And they denied my wife three or four times. And the doctor was so, the doctor that was giving me the treatment, you know, we would check with her. So this is where we knew that, you know, like, man, you know, we have
God is powerful.
Yeah, God, because God, he keeps, He keeps doing miracles in our lives that you know, that they're unexplainable. It's not coincidence, you know. It's not coincidence that, you know, that I was in, you know, that I ended up meeting her brother. It's not coincidence that, you know, that we came to the Lord. It's not coincidence that with this treatment that I had, you know, Cynthia couldn't get it. So the doctor went into this big medical facility convention, like a big old medical, and so they give her one treatment, one free patient.
Wow.
And she comes back in the state of Nevada. She comes back.
And actually, honey, okay, well, wait a minute, wait. Nevada and California.
Yeah, Nevada,
Alaska. She covers Nevada and California.
Yeah, so they give her this one box of treatment. And she brings it back. She calls my wife on a Sunday. She goes, Cynthia, I need to talk to you. She goes, I'm going to give you this treatment.
First she asked me, I want to confirm your genotype. Because she wasn't at the doctor's. Yeah. And I'm like, first one she called, I was like, what's going on? What happened? We got kind of close to her and her husband. I'm like, oh my God, you know. She goes, no, I'm calling to see your genotype. And I told her, and I'm like, why? What's going on? She goes, well, She goes, I got something, and she was very upset with the insurance. And out of all the people that I have, California, Nevada, that I see, I'm choosing you. And I'm like, choosing me for what? She goes, the treatment, it's free. And she goes, and this is like $1,000. Like they told me that what I'm picking up is like buying a brand new house. The stuff is expensive. And I said, okay, like why? She goes, the way that you honored your husband or is trying to get him and honoring God and trying to get him to his place where his goal that he wanted, his dream. She goes, I think you deserve this.
Wow.
Right, babe?
Yeah.
Wow. We were like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when I did go to pick it up at the pharmacy, they were really nervous. Please, let's go straight home and take this stuff.
You know, and then after all that, so we go and see her because I had to take another blood test for the boxing committee. And we go and we see her, you know, we give her a big old hug and we tell her, you know, thank you. And she goes, you know what? She goes, they stopped that program. They only did it one time and one time only.
Oh my goodness.
So that, right? So
that is amazing.
Right? Okay, and then I want to share something else. my dad and I had some, we'll just say issues. My dad, I say that he's a Mexican, machismo, I do it my way, no remorse, don't like it too bad, you know, type of man. Good man. He was a boxing coach and loved by a lot of people. We just didn't have a great relationship. But at the end of that, God put us in a position. I like to share my testimony when I tell people, God will sometimes take you back to the place that destroyed your life. Because he's going to use you now to bring that person to Christ. Amen. So that's what he did. He took us back to that place, my husband and I, to get my father to a better place. And at the end of his days, we ended up taking care of him. He was hospice at the house. He gave his life to Christ. Said the sinner's prayer. Yeah. Right, babe? It was the best 2 weeks of my life. I got to love him as a daughter should love a father. He got to accept my love and love me as a father. So it was beautiful. You know, it was all God. He was in the midst of it all. I mean, in the midst. We knew there was at one point, right, babe, that he was dealing with him.
Yeah, there was a point where you know, because he was old and fragile at that time, but still, you know, but nobody get it past him, you know, so everybody was kind of like, man, you know, he's losing his marbles. And, you know, got, you know, guns laying around. So they're like, hey, man, so everybody took off, you know. So everybody just took off. And I'm like, oh, you know, so every day after work, I would go and check and see if he's okay, you know, make sure he ate. And I was just loving the man.
Yeah. Mm. And Ruben treated him as his father, as if he was his son. Because unfortunately right now, like, my brother was working and my brother's in prison. And that's all he wanted was, I don't care what dad did. Somebody needs to take care of him, you know?
Yeah.
And Ruben did that.
Yeah.
Ruben did that. He bathed them everything. He took care of him.
Wow.
He took care of him like if that was his own father, you know? And it was actually beautiful. Yeah. And then it put me in a place where if my husband's there, I got to go, you know?
Mm.
So it helped me get into a quicker restoration with him, you know?
And then the family started coming back and everybody was there and then, you know, he was just, you know, he was just he was there, and you know, I just kept on loving him. I kept on praying. I kept on reading the word to him, and he was there. He was very receptive. He was teaching Jesus. He was Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
At the 11th hour.
You know, the 11th hour. You know, and he, you know, he was there, and you know, we, you know, he was already out the door, and then one day he just jumped out of bed and just, forgiveness
is not right. Yeah. You know, but we knew God was there, and me and Ruben looked at each other like, oh my God, and my dad was making these funny noises, and we're like, he's here. And my mom kind of didn't understand. I go, he's dealing with him. He's having a conversation with him. This is how I truly felt in my heart. And that's when he just came out, forgiveness, it's not right. And then he asked for forgiveness. He asked me and my mom, and we told him, we forgive you, Dad. Wow. God loves you, you know? And then he was okay. And then he went the next day, peacefully, like an angel.
God is merciful, man.
Yes, he is. He is. And I think for us, I mean, he gave me something that I always wanted, and it just kind of just sealed the deal. You know, like I always told him, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. But he has shown us so much, you know, so much. Like I say, I act up, ship me back to the home, right, babe? I'll ship you back too if I have to. I ain't got no shame. I'll call Pastor Laura and tell Pastor Manuel, like, you got to come get him. Because I'm not going to deal with this. We are going to live for God and God alone. And that's the only way it's going to work now.
And, you know, and that's a good thing, you know. And I thank God for that. You know, I thank God that my wife, you know, if I start acting up, you know, at least she knows that there's a man of God in my life to correct me and direct me. And you know, even if she starts acting up, I'm going to call Pastor Lord. You didn't say that your spiritual daughter, because she acted up.
It was funny because we were at lunch today, and we spoke about that. And I'm telling myself so much, you know, but it's because I need to learn. I'm older, and I've done things for so long a certain way that what I think is right might not be right to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to her, and I'll tell her exactly what I said, what I felt, what I was doing, and she'll tell me where I was right and where I was wrong. And that's what this conference has been about a lot, too, right? Being corrected.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have no shame in being corrected. I did it my way for a long time, and it didn't work. Yeah. So go ahead. And then especially when God puts you in a place where you find people who you respect and have some similarities with you and aren't afraid to tell you, no, Cynthia, you don't get to act like that.
Yeah.
You cannot act like that, you know, that aren't afraid of you, you know what I mean? You know, because a lot of times most people are like, don't want to tell us nothing, especially in the world. Nobody was going to tell us nothing because the way we would react,
right?
You know, but they're not afraid. And that's one of the things that I love is like, okay, this is good. These people and there's something that they want that they have that I want.
Yeah.
Something different, you know, and something good and pure.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Yes.
And when it's done out of love. You know, it hits the heart.
Amen.
And it plants the seed.
Amen.
When it's done out of love.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. You guys are amazing,
man. Thank
you.
What you want to tell them about our building now?
So
yes, just hold on. Oh, the building.
So
3 years ago.
3 years ago, we got sent out. I believe it was at the Dream Again concert. I mean, group concert conference.
Yeah.
So we got sent out, and we got sent out to Vegas, and we've been holding church there since then.
In our house.
I've been preaching there. First it was just me, my wife, and my mother-in-law, and then people started to come. You know, I work with a bunch of iron workers. I'm a local 416 iron worker, and I have a bunch of iron workers that are there. And iron workers are a different breed. They're just different. You know, they're different.
And they're hard.
They're like I said, they're a special breed. And we're there, and I'm there, and I think one thing my pastor's always tells me is, Dave Rubin, you gotta understand that people are watching you. And I took heed to that. So I'm like, okay, if people are watching me, then I gotta watch what I say and how I act and how I talk, you know. your appearance could be, you know, one way. But I tell people now, like the iron workers, they see me and I'm like, yeah, man, I was a gang member. Like, yeah, yeah, you weren't a gang member. I go, if you guys would have seen me in a dark alley, I'll believe you.
Not even in a dark alley, yeah, yeah. Most of them would have been knocked out already. Yeah,
but, you know, because I go to work, you know, I have a good spirit, you know, like, I have a good spirit, and you know, now, you know, that we're there at the house, you know, these iron workers, they start to come.
Yeah.
You know, they start to come, and they're like, hey, you got a church, man? I was like, yeah, man, I got a church, man, come to my house. Mm. Like, yeah, you got a church in the house? I was like, yeah, man, just come to the house, man, you know, I'll preach the word of God to you, man. He's like, all right. So they've been coming.
Yeah.
They've been coming. Wow. Sometimes we'll have 20 people, sometimes it'll just be me and my wife. But I kept on pushing. And now we're starting to have a core of people that are there, and they're ready for the next journey. They're catching the vision of the house, and you know, teaching, mending, and sending.
Amen. Mm.
And so, you know, we're there. We've been there for 3 years, and then one day, man, I don't miss work.
Only for conference.
Yeah, I just call. I'll call my boss, and you know, I'll be like, hey, you know, I'm not coming in. I'll go. Well, I'll let them know ahead of time. Like, hey, this week I'm not working.
And they know. They already know what it's.
And
for.
They're like, hey, and they're like, they already know, because at the beginning, you know, that's another story how I got into the union. That's another story. But man. You know, so you know, they know conference, and so one day I go to work, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the tower that we're on. And something's telling me, you know what, go home. And I'm like, man, I don't know if it's my flesh. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not liking what I'm feeling, but I'm not understanding it as well. So I call my wife and I say, hey, Cynthia, I go, even have the music on. I'm going to go into prayer. She goes, you're not going to go to work? I said, nah, I don't know if I'm going to hurt somebody today. You know, and I shouldn't be thinking like that, but I'd rather say,
you're,
you know,
being
what
honest.
I'm being honest. You know, I don't know if
just
I'm gonna hurt anybody.
Just because people are pastors does not mean that they don't go through stuff.
Oh,
and,
I hear you.
And you know, right? and that's what I said. You know what, Cynthia? I don't want to hurting somebody, and you know, end up doing something wrong, and you know, just I'd rather not. So I go, you know what, I'm gonna go home, and I want you to you know, turn the music on, and when I come in hot. I'm going to get in prayer. So I go in, and we got the music up, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, what is it? You know, what's wrong with me? You know, what's going on, God? You know, cleanse my spirit, you know. And so, you know, I'm pushing, and I feel a calmness. And then, man, so I get on the phone, and I'm texting, and I'm like, okay. So I text this guy that's been wanting to have lunch with me for a while already, and I've been pushing it over and over and over and over. And I think God, that's what God was telling me. Like, hey, you know what? You're gonna have lunch today with this man.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pastor Steve Flores.
Mm-hmm.
He's with Pastor Ruben.
Yep.
So
awesome man of God.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know, because he's like, hey, let's meet up for lunch. I'm like, okay, cool. And you know, and our schedules are not meeting up, and I'm like, man. So I text him that morning. I say, hey, Pastor Steve, how you doing, man? He goes, hey, good, I'm blessed, Pastor, because let's have lunch. I said, I'm not working today. Let's do it.
Nice.
So we go. I said, hey, Cynthia, get ready, man. We're gonna have lunch. She's like, all right, let's go. So we go. We have lunch, and we're talking, and we're like, hey, Pastor Steve, you know, we're thinking about sharing a building with somebody, and this and that. And he's like, he looks at us. He's like, hey, you know what, man? Let's finish up our food because let's go somewhere. All right, let's go. So we goes and you know. He opens up this, he has a, you know, Pastor Steve, he owns,
he's
the CEO of Hope Medical Christian Center. So he's part of that in Vegas, and he helps people with insurance, no insurance, people that are documented, undocumented,
homeless.
He helps homeless, whoever, he's helping everybody, and I'm like, man. So he has this office that he's going to open up, a second office, and he says that, hey, you know what? He goes, man, he goes, you know what? I just lost a doctor today, man. The doctor just manifested on me, and I had to release him. He goes, man, now I got this office that I got, you know, and now it's vacant. I don't know what to do with it now.
And then Pastor Ruben wanted him, you know, because he's been doing a little Bible study and church sometimes on Sundays. And his home wanted the same thing. So we all spoke and we prayed over it. And he's like, Pastor Reuben, go talk to Pastor Manuel. I'm going to go talk to Pastor Reuben. Pastor Manuel was like, I felt great about this. Pastor Reuben was excited. Mm-hmm. So he was here yesterday. We got to see the papers. Yeah. We have a building.
Wow. So this is recent.
This
happened just recently.
Wow.
Where he just showed me. He just showed me the paper yesterday. He was like, this is what you got to pay, and this is what I'm paying. And we're going to split the bill. And it's, you know, I mean, and for, you know, for what we're having is pretty much pennies to, you know.
No,
you
my won't, God, because we were looking, and it's very expensive.
The doors were closing on us.
It just wasn't the time.
Yeah, and then we got blessed. We got blessed. The blessed with the.
Oh, yeah, we got blessed. We were able to give, we got blessed with a nice little bag, in other words. Yeah. And we were able to pay the tithes on that. Pay an offering on that.
Yeah.
Pay our, what did they, the pledge, right? Mm-hmm. To help the pastor with the Pastor Manuel, and put another offering on top of that. Mm-hmm. It's just been, you know, and it's just been beautiful.
We had the finances. Don't get me wrong. We had the finances to go into whatever the cost was. Yeah, it's okay. But God was, it wasn't working for us. You know, I said, you know what, nah. You know, there's a building I like, she didn't like. I said, okay.
I didn't feel it.
And then there's a building that she liked, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not feeling that.
Yeah.
So, and it was months. It was,
We went looked for a bit, and then we didn't. We looked again, and we stopped, and we just said, okay, when God says, and then that's when he moved. And, you know, I was thinking right now that we're talking, it was so beautiful that he's been talking through us these last couple weeks. We met with him a couple weeks ago, right? And then to yesterday, the end of conference, at the end of the service, is when he shows Reuben the paper. Mm. On top of that, what I would call the altar right now, right? Mm. And isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
how
that's
powerful
amazing.
Is that? How anointed is that going to get?
Man.
Right? That's how I see things. And I wanted to share something real quick, babe, and I don't know if I'm the only one who feels like this. I don't know, but when they blessed us out, and I seen my pastor, and Pastor Reuben, and Pastor John, and Pastor Edgy walking down to pray all over all of us that were getting launched out, man, I thought I was walking with Jesus. Mm. Now, they're not Jesus. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But they were they are disciples of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? We were like, and I'm looking at my boss because I know she's trying to tell me to keep my composure because I just wanted to lose it. But I seen them coming and I'm like, Lord, are you serious? I felt like this is Jesus walking, that you're walking in front of them with your disciples, and they're going to, who am I? Why are you doing this? Oh my God, help me, you know, but it was just like so powerful. And I know these men understand the covering that they're under and that they're walking with Jesus, but for someone like me, just some girl from the streets, you know, from Pomona, California, that was special. Mm. It was just like, and it helps when you realize that, because if we decide to change and go back to what they call our vomit, it just doesn't affect our pastors. It affects our families. It affects our other Living Word churches. When I don't see another pastor here, it bothers me. What happened? What went wrong? You know, so I don't know who I'm talking to out there right now, but it affects everybody. So you got to hold on tight and keep crown and stay connected and don't turn back and just keep pushing forward. Amen, babe? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Praise the Lord, man. Yeah. This is good. I don't even know what else to ask right now.
We'll go on a whole other way.
It's a whole other mission.
I wanted to share another thing that, and this is just, I think what we're trying to share right now is, at least with me, is things that we've chosen to do instead of other stuff. And my husband's father, he was really sick. He ended up passing in pneumonia. They called when we were on our way to church. So this is the man that I'm looking at driving, you know?
Yeah.
And 90% of the time we're on the same page. We could finish each other's sentences, know what we're talking about. God has did that for us, and I thank God for that. He's driving, gets a phone call that ambulance is coming. His dad's on the way to the hospital, and doesn't look like he's going to make it. My husband at that moment had the choice to either run behind the ambulance, follow his dad. Instead, he kept heading towards church. And it was worship at the time, hubby. Went into church, got on his knees to his father, next to his spiritual father, and just laid it all out there, begging God, just one more time, please, let him be okay. And then Pastor Manuel went ahead and released us to go to the hospital. But he still didn't go until he was, go ahead. So when we say obedience, that's obedience. Because, you know, he has to make a choice. He's got his father going to die and go to his spiritual father to ask for help from his heavenly father. And that was the best thing he could have did, because when we got there, they in an induced coma. But he came out of it for a while. Enough time for everybody to ask for forgiveness. Enough time for my husband to tell him goodbye again. He got to say the sinner's prayer with him prior to that. I think that's part of why this took place, because God knew it was going to happen and allowed it to happen, but put them in a place where, you know, everything was good. But sometimes you got to make a choice, and running to your family isn't always it. Sometimes you got to run to God, and you got to run to your spiritual parents before you can even help your family. Because a lot of times we want to run to the family because we think we can save them, and we can't. Right? So, I was really grateful for that. You know, really proud of him, you know, that and the outcome was beautiful. You know, so it just, and it shows, sometimes you love somebody so much as being married, you know? You don't think you can love them any more than you already do, because you love them. And then you find this other little thing that's just like, wow, I love them even more. You know?
Wow.
So.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, it's the year of vision.
Amen.
And God's vision. And the end times. And are you ready? And everything we're hearing, preaching on Revelation and the churches and, you know, everything. And you guys are in Vegas, which is, you know,
I mean, that's... Sin City. That's we're going to turn into Sin City.
Interesting. All on its own. Yeah. But... let me ask you, what's your vision for your city? What do you see God?
We're going to go out there, man. We're going to look under the bridges, under the lowest points of Sin City, man, to go out there and save the lost, to go out there and to reach the lost, out there and preach the word of God. And you know, we're already starting off with this building, but I know we're going to do outreaches. You know, I have I don't have them, you know, but God, you know, put people in my life to go out there and reach the city. And but, you know, what we want to do is go out there and
just evangelize and bring them into the church. And, you know, in Vegas, there's a lot of homelessness, and a lot of it has to do with all drugs. this drugs that's, you know, people that were never even had mental issues are now having mental issues.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting diagnosed with schizophrenia and all this kind of stuff, all because of this drug, you know. But I really do believe in the power of prayer and the power of God, and I think we can make some change. I think that we can go out there and these people that are walking around talking to themselves, they're not going to be doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as it is, we go by and we pray, and now we have some place to bring them to.
Yeah.
You know, like we got a church to bring them, a church building to bring them to, and you know, and then with Pastor Steve too in his medical facility. So I think that we're gonna
it's all lining up.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the drugs, and they got a lot of prostitution out there. And what happens too, I'm excited. We talk about visions when we get the men and women
that's
home.
I was gonna go with that.
Go
right
with
now.
That, babe.
So we're gonna get, of course, you know, we have the church, but we want the men's home, we want the women's home. You know, I want a boxing gym, so, you know, I could bring in the bring in the youth, you know, and you know, especially for somebody that, you know, that to say, you know what, I've been in the ring, you know, I know what it is, and I know what it is to be disciplined. And then, you know, because a lot of those kids, a lot of the kids are, you know, street kids, and, you know, and, you know, I'm going to tell them, like, hey, you guys want to come to the, you know, Living World Boxing Club, you know, you know,
come to the gym. That's awesome.
Yeah, come to the gym, you know. And but that's what we want to do. We want to, you know, have the homes and go out there and you know, give them a place to stay. And then for, you know, like my wife was saying, for the women's home, you know, for the women that are out there, you know, that have these pimps and these, whatever it is that they, you know,
that they're too afraid, yeah, of. I'm like,
too,
yeah,
afraid of, you know,
we're not afraid of them.
That, and that's the thing that, you know, because, you know, I'm gonna do everything I can to protect my, you know, the flock, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, I don't care what pimp comes into, they're like, hey, you know what, this is a house of God, you know, say this is the house of God, I'm here to protect what's mine,
exactly,
you know, what belongs to God.
Amen. Because what happens is a lot of these girls, they get intimidated, you know, and even some men. Well, we weren't intimidated in the world, you know. We were gang members, and we weren't at the, you know, we had some.
We're on the top of the totem
pole. Yes. And you know, none of that scares us.
Right.
I would pray for them. Well, please don't try to come to our house and mess with our girls, you know, and drag them back out. It's not gonna happen.
And that's the thing, though. You know, we're willing to die for our neighborhood. We're willing to die for drugs. We're willing to die for these senseless things that had no meaning to us. But now, I mean, if I gotta die for things of God, man,
amen,
so be it.
Yeah,
you know?
Amen.
I mean, we're over there dying, you know, like we said, we're dying for meaningless things. We're, yeah, willing to die for that. So now why not die for the things of God, for Jesus?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I'm willing to give my life, you know, for, yeah, those things.
Get them saved and let them feel protected. Vegas, they're lost.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. They're not safe anywhere. They don't feel that there's safety anywhere. And if that's a vision, and we can have the men's and women's homes, so they'll know that they're safe.
Yeah,
you're gonna be safe here, you're gonna be okay. God's got you, and we know how to box, so you'll be safe.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So one last thing here, Pastor, if you could just encourage anyone who's listening, you know, I'm not sure who's gonna hear this, but whoever hears it is supposed to hear it, and I know it's already gonna encourage a lot of people and bless a lot of people. But if you could just take, you know, a couple minutes and just maybe share a thought, share a word, and close it in prayer.
Good. You start first.
Okay. Just give your life to God. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him convince you that you can't do it or you're not going to like the change, because my life today is beautiful. I'm having a wonderful time. I don't have to look back at anything. I don't have to worry about the person next to me that's going to try to, you know, turn me in or any of that. I love my life today. I'm telling you, I promise you, if you give your life to God and you surrender and you just trust in him, he will be there for you. He has a purpose and a plan for you. He will set you on the right track. He will guide you. He will provide for whatever it is that you need to get you to that place that he wants you to be. Just don't let the enemy, and that's including your family. I would love my family, but sometimes our family don't understand where we're going. And those are the ones that are trying to hold us back. But don't let them, because God will use you to bring your family to them. So you got to stand up, you got to stay strong, and you just got to keep pushing forward, and
amen,
you got to know that this is your relationship with God. So just keep on going.
Amen.
You know, I would say, you know, to the people out there that are listening, you know, the things of the world are not going to get you, are not going to fill that hole in your heart. You know, one thing that me personally, you know, the only thing that filled that emptiness in my heart was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, giving your life to God, it will be the best choice that you ever done, in your life. You know, for me, God, when, you know, he became my everything. I put him first before anything.
Amen.
My relationship with God is you know, the more I love God, is the more that I'm gonna be able to love my wife and love,
amen,
people. You know, that's my main source.
Yeah.
You know, just to love the people. And I you know, if you're out there and you're lost and you don't know who to turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, go into a church, you know, it doesn't have to be Living Word, but just go into the church and,
amen,
just give your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, and God, he'll guide your steps. You He'll get you to where you need to get to. You know, you got to understand that you were created for a purpose and a plan.
Amen.
The God Jesus did not create you just to create. You know, he created you for something special, for a unique task that you need to accomplish in this life.
Amen.
And if you're not completing that task, that's probably one of the reasons why you're feeling an empty void in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
You know, so I'm going to just close this off in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father,
yes,
my Lord.
We thank you, Father God, yes, for today, Jesus. Father God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for your fellowship, Lord.
Yes, Father God.
We just thank you, Lord, for that, for just giving us the Holy Spirit, Father
yes,
God, to
Lord.
Speak your words, Father
yes.
God. We thank you, Father God, for just
yeah,
using
Father,
us today,
yes,
Father God,
yeah,
so we're
yeah,
able, my Lord, to get the word out there, Father
yes,
God, so
Jesus.
People could hear your word, Father
yes.
God, in
yes,
which your works have done in our lives, Father
yeah,
God,
no, no, no,
that we
no,
are
no,
a
no,
living
no.
testimony,
yes,
Father
yes,
God,
yes,
of the change that you can do to a person, Father
yes,
God.
Lord,
oh, Lord, we just
Lord,
thank
Lord,
you,
yes,
Father
yes,
God. We thank you for your precious blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the transformation, Father God.
God.
And we just thank you, my Lord. We just thank you. We just give you all the honor, Father God, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Chris, so much.
Thank you.
You're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah,
this is going to be awesome,
thank
you know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
We're going to get the word out there anyway, right?
Thank you, Jesus. One way or the other.
By new technology.
Yeah, one way or the other. Man, what a powerful interview and story, conversation with this wonderful couple. Man, this just blessed me, and I hope that it blessed you as well. And keep Living Word of Las Vegas, Pastor Ruben and Cynthia, in your prayers. And we're believing God for great things in the city of Las Vegas. And I hope that you enjoyed this today. If you did enjoy this, I would appreciate you to subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to it on Apple, iTunes, Spotify. You can subscribe to it Google Play. You can subscribe to it on any platform that you're listening to. And also, maybe you can take time to rate the podcast and comment on iTunes, especially. And comment, rate it, and definitely appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen to these podcasts. Hope you enjoyed it. And what a tremendous blessing it was to speak to this dear couple. My goodness, I really enjoyed it. So hope you did too. Love you guys. Hopefully throughout the week, I can interview a couple more people and, you know, find some interesting stories and people to speak to. And this is just an amazing time. I really, really enjoyed getting to know this couple. And they are some powerful folks, man. See what God can do. This is what the Lord can do, man. God bless.